Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher, joined once again by Anthony Torgrud.
What's up, guys? Glad to be back. We got a muted Stefano right now.
I'm only muting because I've got a bit of a sniffle, so I don't want to like let that linger in the background. But yeah, good to be back. Good to be back. And we're here to talk about wins, guys. Dubs on the board.
About time.
Backs to the wall, purely always comes out swinging. Also, you may have a cold, but it can't be any worse than Maddie clearing his throat.
I was going to say, Maddie's coughing.
every single time. Yeah, God, it's been a while since it's been us three, I believe. So good to get the A team. People are going to call us the A team because, you know.
No, they're not, because I'm here.
Yanks have been catching a bit of flack in the comments section over the past week or so. I'm just... Yeah, dodging the bullets. But,
well,
yeah.
And the funny part is, normally it's me who's like, look at this, guys, look what he said. But I've been so busy that I had to find out through Ollie this time. I didn't get a chance to read it myself. And Ollie didn't even defend me. You just said, oh, he hates you. I'm like, okay, thanks.
No, I just said, wow, you know, you've got a genuine hatred for these two. Because comments were, sometimes the jokey criticism, like, oh, come on, sleepy Maddie and stuff like that. But then other times it's just straight up hate. I will be monitoring the comments section on YouTube for this week's episode, and I will be sending on any criticism that you get, either of you two get. If it's me, I'll just delete the comment. Before we dive into this week's episode, thank you to all of our loyal Substack founding members, Des Windsor McGlynn, Ali Tareen, Tito Mack, Moritz Paulman, Joey Gawler, Kemin, MJ Matz, Luke Villano, Raul Escobar. We're currently in double figures now. We've got 10 founding members. Thank you guys so much for your support and everything that we're doing on the over on the bonus content side of things. We had something interesting come out this week. It is it was something regarding our search for a new head coach. There's a little bit of information in there that we are not yet going to put out in the public domain. But on if you're on the Substack, and reminder, you can try a week for free, then you would read all about a surprise name who has entered the picture to become our head coach for next season. So, yeah, go and sub if you haven't already. The link will be in the description. And so we move on to talk about two victories, not one, two victories to start the new year, and by the same three-goal margin. So, don't know.
That's not, you know? Oh, yes, three-goal margin, sorry.
Three-goal margin, yeah.
Yep, you're right.
All this head coach search stuff might all end up being redundant. You never know, because that is some answer why we've been struggling. We've got to obviously start with the Cagliari game in the Coppa Italia, round of 16, which was played on Tuesday night. We're recording this on Sunday, a few hours after the game against Empoli. First thing we need to talk about is the team that was selected. The decision was made, and as Sky's Pepe Di Stefano reported, the management shared they were content with this decision to heavily rotate the team. The likes of Giancarlo Simic started, Alex Jimenez got a go at left back, Antonio Mirante was in goal, Luca Romero, Shaka Traore, Jovic. What were your thoughts when you saw the team? Because it was a big risk, even though the result makes it look like a perfectly calculated gamble.
Yeah, I was optimistic, but cautiously, right? With Mirante in goal, a backup keeper, especially at... Is he technically our third choice? I can't tell. I mean, Sports Yale has been dead all season, so I don't even know. But yeah, like that gives you a little, you know, a little makes you nervous a bit. But obviously, based on how the game went, like there was no reason to be nervous in hindsight. And it's cool to see the Primavera players getting time. You know, the youth are really stepping up lately, so it's nice to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we were all kind of like worried about more so the comments as opposed to the actual team. It felt like the approach was we're going to prioritize top four over cups, where in reality it's like, well, surely top four should be a shoo-in with if you look at the sort of the race. And I know it's our form has been disastrous over the last couple of months. Not enough to probably think that we're definitely not going to make top four, but at least to put it in risk. But at the same time, you'd think, okay, we're going to Europa. The cup has opened up because Napoli and Inter are out of it. You'd think you take that chance by the ball with the horns. But so I think it was more the approach with those comments as opposed to the players, which we're all quite happy to see youngsters get their chance to shine. And obviously it was noted that kind of they also rotated their side, didn't they, as well? They had a few players, starting players off the bench as well. So there's a bit of context there as well. But I think if you look at the Milan's 11 that started. I think we looked at that with a bit of optimism. Jovic was starting in good form. Chukwueze, last game before he goes off to AFCON. Reinders, I think Adli might have started as well. So, there was enough great
Calabria.
Yeah. Exactly. There was creativity to at least make us confident that we're going to actually win this game. And especially at home, we got better form than we do away from home. So, yeah, I wasn't too worried about the overall end result. I was just probably more worried about the approach and maybe how tough we might make it for ourselves, whereas we usually might prefer to field a starting 11, coast this game, and then rotate for the youngsters. Mm-hmm. But actually, it was the same outcome, but with the youngsters playing and starting. So
I think the most surprising thing, given the amount of rotation, given the comments, is that Reinders still started. He started every single game this season.
Mate, he's getting carried off in a coffin at some point. Like, he's played every single game, and only one of them wasn't a start, and that was in the first Champions League game against Newcastle. That's ridiculous. As Steph kind of alluded to there, it was two rotated teams, and it almost felt like the battle of teams that maybe had something bigger to fight for. Yes, our B team slash an experienced team mixed with kids should be able to beat Cagliari's B team, and it proved to be a gamble that did pay off. But this should be a target. This should be a target. And one of the things that I said on Twitter in the build-up to the game, having seen the team, is that this is a risk, because all it takes is for it to go to extra time like it did against Torino, and anything can kind of happen from there. And also, I was looking at it thinking, after this game's done, we've got one game in 12 days, or at least that's what I could see on the fixture list, not realizing that by getting through, our next game is in like 6 days' time.
On Wednesday.
And it's coming up against Atalanta, which, of course, we've got to preview later in the episode. We managed to get the job done, and ultimately the groundwork for this one was done in the first half through Luka Jovic, who has been in fantastic form. He missed a one-on-one fairly early on. Adli played a wonderful through ball. I'll give him his props for that before we come on to it in the next game. Lovely through ball. Probably should have buried that one. Got taken a little bit wide by it, perhaps. But then he scored two goals that I guess were reminiscent of his Frankfurt days. Good positioning and good emphatic finishing. Good to see Jovic in the goals again.
Yeah, so I actually didn't get to watch the first 15 minutes of this game. I was at work during it. Sue me, it was midday on a Wednesday. That's what happens. But so I got to turn it on, and a few minutes after I turned it on was the first goal. And I can't remember if that was the one that he kind of clipped sideways and bounced through the keeper's legs.
No, that was the first one was the ball over from Teo that he brought down in behind and then sort of hit it while he was falling to the floor.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
Is that the one you're talking about, right?
Yeah, I thought it bounced under in between Radanovic's legs.
It did go through his legs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That
but then okay. He did the same again.
And it was worse keeping on the second goal, I think. That's probably what I'm thinking.
Yes, both of them kind of spilled.
And the third.
But it was great from Jovic, bad from the keeper, because ultimately it was straight at him. But like you said, settling it and taking the shot at the angle like that, while he's going down, I mean, that's top striker form, top quality, blah, blah, blah. All those great, great adjectives you use. Nothing really to complain about on any of them, to be honest. Most of them went straight at the keeper and somehow still got through, but I don't know. Days you get lucky, I guess. I don't have much analyst here. I was at work. Sorry.
Yeah. There's a few things to unpick with the first two goals. I think, like Teo Hernandez, excellent. I think the ball that he clipped in for the first goal was really well taken. I think this is, we're all asking for Jovic to start games, and this is why. Because even though his first touch, and it did probably would take an exceptional first touch to get that under control and then lever that away, wasn't the best, he still had enough, I guess, agility, athleticism to then get the second touch away from the centre-back. And to be honest, I think that was in such close range that he hits it with power that the keeper's not too much to blame. The keeper had a bit of disaster. Disaster game with the second and the third goal with Xhaka. But I think for the first goal, there's not much he can do with that close range, and Jovic putting his whole kind of body power away behind that. But so a few things to kind of call out. You've got Teo, a great ball. You've got Jovic, obviously, doing great, and probably we'll come on to how Giroud and how a very flat game that he had against Empoli and epitomising what he's not offering versus what Jovic is currently offering right now. And then the second goal as well. I mean, it's all Hernandez, isn't it? I mean, the run... the pressing is just like, he just seems to be just question marks at the start of the season of his fitness and how well he's been doing and his motivation and that goal, and to be honest, and like the form he was against the Empoli as well, which we'll come on to. But he's back. He is back. But he's also back in a different form now. He's back in his centre-back form. But this is exactly what we're still seeing, the old tale, because he's still getting those chances to burst forward, which is exactly what he does in the second goal. You know, just running at players with pace, leaving them sort of like dumbfounded, wrong-footed, and slips it through to Jovic. And the second goal, to be honest, you know, the keeper has to do better. But it's the same point of being bold enough to take that shot that maybe the keeper wasn't expecting it. And it's kind of like this slide shot that it kind of goes underneath him. But once again, it's another example that if that's Giroud, he ain't taking that shot first time because A, he's not right footed, and B, probably just can't get to it and give it that much power. Not a knock on Giroud, but that's exactly why Jovic right now is so red hot. And those two goals probably aren't the cleanest goals, but the fact he turns them into goals is exactly what we need right now. And yeah, a really good end to the first half. I thought we controlled it relatively well. Cagliari didn't do anything, to be fair. And the youngsters were coming into the game. I think if you look back to that first half, was Chaka Traore and Romero doing quite a lot? No, I wouldn't say so. I thought Jimenez was standing out. Simic was having a relatively solid game as well. And Marante, I can't remember, he had a few saves maybe to make in sort of the start of the half. But
yeah, that Petagna header at the near post.
Yeah, the near post from a corner or maybe a cross. We were controlling it really well, which I think was the ask, but ultimately, yeah, great end to the first half where I felt like, you know, we were in a driving seat. But how many times have we been 2-0 up at half time against these weak sides? And
I've got a Jovic stat. Since the beginning of December, Jovic has scored the most goals in all competitions of any Serie A player. That was obviously after this particular game, so that's probably changed back to being Lautaro now or something. I don't know.
It's still Jovic. I checked it.
Oh, is it? Cool. Yeah. Counting his assist against Frosinone back on the 2nd of December, he has 6 goal contributions in his last 215 minutes played, which is an average of a goal contribution every 36 minutes. So he is banging form. And, you know, we will talk about the selection for the Empoli game. But it was, good to see him in the goals. And then a memorable moment in the second half for Chaka Traore as well. And this is the goal that properly put the contest to bed, I'd say. You're always a little bit worried with a makeshift back line. If they get the first goal early in the second half, might we collapse? Might the crowd get on the back? It didn't happen. We got the third goal and essentially put our name in the hat for the next round. Xhaka really, really buzzing for him. I think there's an underrated element of this goal. It needed a bit of luck because it was a cutback that Chukwueze had a swing at and whiffed completely. Mm-hmm. So the ball kind of fell to Xhaka. But it's not going down when he felt an arm on his back. And he really was being pulled to the floor by the defender. But it was like, no, I'm going to get this shot off because I've got a pretty good chance of scoring. And again, Radunovic in the Cagliari goals should do a lot better. Mm-hmm. But it scrambles over the line. And it's a fantastic moment for him. He made his Serie A debut against us just after Ibra had come back in the 2019-20 season. And obviously signed for us. And then this was his first competitive start for us, having come off the bench against Dortmund previously and then Frosinone in the league. And yeah, he took his goal, his first senior goal for us, and you could see how much it meant. I loved the fact that he ran over to Rafa and also towards Simic and they celebrated in like a big group thing. The same happened again today, which we'll come on to. But yeah, buzzing for him. And I think you look at this season for him, he's taken quite a few steps forward. Are we looking at a guy who could be a genuine deputy to Leao now moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of chaos behind this goal, as you mentioned, the box with Chukwueze missing the goalkeeper whiffing it entirely. He had his own defenders kind of blocking his sight. Traore was being pulled down, but like you said, he chose to stay up, chose to take the shot off, and he did go down to the ground after he got the shot off, but you see it so many times where you're in the box, you feel a little touch on you, and you say, oh, I'll just go down and hope the ref gives us something. Worst case that happens is you stay up, you take the shot, then you're pulled down. You still get the penalty and you miss the shot, you know, like, so there's no good reason to not take it. And as a youngster who's trying to make a name for himself, trying to get more time in the team, he made the right decision in taking the shot. Obviously not the best shot, again, goalkeeper error, but it went in. That's what matters. And if you haven't seen it, go on the official Milan website and look, there's a picture of Xhaka celebrating where he's jumping in the air all like mm-hmm. Mega Man style. And I mean, it's fantastic. It's an incredible photo. And he might have got another photo similar to that today. I guess we'll find out in like an hour or so. But yeah, I mean, Chaco looks fantastic. You mentioned he could be a deputy for Liao. If the way things continue, he might be starting over Liao. You know, I mean, the kid's in hot form. Yes, it's been two games against low-level competition, but it's been a lot longer for Liao. So who knows, you know, when PSG come calling to replace Mbappe this summer, never know what Moncada's going to do.
Yeah, fair point.
Yeah, I'm not gonna jump on that. No, I love Chaka. I was last season trying to call for him to get some games over Macias and Salamakers on the right side. I think we have to be very honest about where some of these Primavera players are at. You know, Simic, Jimenez, Chaka Traore, all still. There's like raw talent there. There's clearly talent, but ultimately, is it? We're also a big club. Do I expect him to see him starting games over someone like Okafor on the left as opposed to deputy over Rafa? No chance. I'm sorry, but that's the reality of this. Unless he completely explodes into this, and granted, he's taking the chance, you know, with the ball, you know, taken by the ball, but ball by the horns. Christ, I can't think of the metaphor now. But ultimately, it's like, is he doing exactly what he needs to be doing in this moment? But I just don't think it's immediately going to transfer itself into a. He's got a squad spot, but I just don't think he's the go-to backup for Rafa or the right side. The beauty of the depth that we have is that we can still channel into this great Primavera side should there be injuries, and Christ, there are a lot right now. But yeah, I just don't know for Chaka. I think he just needs to look at this moment in isolation and just keep going with it, because ultimately the squad should come back into fitness, and then where does that leave him in his spot? And does Okafor then get that back? And then Rafa as well. There's going to be much more serious and much more harder games too. And yeah, I think he just needs to keep his feet grounded and just see what happens. And if it means him going back to the Primavera side, who are also in the knockout rounds for the Champions League and doing well in that, I think he needs to as well. I think he's a great talent, like Jimenez, like Simic. But, we have to be kind of like realistic of what we're trying to achieve here, and 100% want to give them opportunities. But I don't know. It's a bit of an interesting one, but I'm not trying to knock on it, but I'm really happy for the kid to get his debut goal. I actually kind of like felt as well after that goal, I was like, it's a bit fucking clunky way to get a goal, is the mistake by the keeper. And we'll come on to the Empoli goal. That was the goal I kind of wanted to see for his debut goal.
Yeah.
He answered the questions about quality and finesse and composure. The first goal, you take your goal wherever, however it comes by. And I think Ollie made a great point there, just not trying to go down for a penalty. Just taking the shot, and that comes to just kind of just simplicity of being a young lad who's just trying, you know, I may never get this shot again, bang, and then, you know, never know what's going to happen, catches the keeper out. And it's quite ironic that we end the game with Rafa obviously getting the fourth goal as well, which we should probably speak about as well, which was, Rafa's as well. I just want to cover this. I think we've been speaking this for about a month and a half now. I don't think he's looking like in great form, despite the fact he's putting numbers on with assists and goals. He's clearly got levels to go to get back to what he was like at last season. I think he even knows that as well. Like just the energy levels, getting past the man all the time. Yeah, there was a bit more consistency with that towards the end of last season, even probably to the start of this season. Maybe that last injury has taken a bit out of him, which he needs to still fully come back from. But it's going to be a big month and a lot of ask on him, especially with Okafor only coming back for the Roma game, Chukwueze at AFCON. You know, we're going to hopefully get a lot out of him. But happy that he got a goal as well with Rafa. And yeah, we're there. We're in the quarters against Atalanta now, aren't we?
Yeah, I think Liao's problem, like you said, is full fitness right now. Okay, for the record, I just want to say I was fishing with the whole thing about replacing him. I just want everyone to know before Twitter fingers get heavy. But yeah, I don't think he's fully at fitness right now. It's getting to the point where that's no longer going to be an excuse, because it has been a while that he's returned. But it's pretty obvious, you know, he's had a few times where he's taken a good shot. A couple of them got called off. I can't remember what game it was, but recently he scored a goal that was called off and it was a beautifully taken shot. This one was a good shot as well. I think Pulisic had the assist on it from deep, like half field. And then he just, you know, put it out wide for Liao, who got it, which is fantastic. Cause you could see that the other players are being selfless and they want to help Rafa get that goal, right? He needs that goal. We all need it as a team to get our star guy back firing. And He finally got there, but it wasn't the first attempt he took this game. Obviously, he didn't play the full game, but it took him quite a few tries to get that. Mm-hmm. And the worrying part is those tries were really bad, right? Like, let's be real. They were going sky high. It happened again in the Empoli game a couple times, but it is what it is. He's going to get there eventually. He'll get back, but the clock is ticking on when it becomes an issue. I mean, you look at now on paper, if you take the injuries out of equation, we have Pulisic, Chukwueze, Luca Romero, Giroud, who is our top goal scorer for, you know, all the things we're going to say about him later on. You got Jovic in hot form. You do have Okafor. Now Xhaka rising up. Our attacking depth is arguably the best it's been in a very long time. And I'm not saying Leao's going to get benched anytime soon, but we did see Pioli do that to him last season after a small run of bad form. You know, he benched him for a derby start so that we could switch to a two-striker formation instead, which is inexplicable from the coach, not Rafa, but I'm saying the blueprint is there for him to get benched eventually if he can't get it together soon enough. So I do think the clock is ticking a little bit, but he'll come good. He always does.
Yeah. It's a strange one because this game in particular is hard to judge because he was coming on to face a rotated Cagliari side and they were a tired defense. You know, they'd struggled all game. The space was there to exploit. I think he knew he could get his goal by doing the same thing over and over, but it is kind of a law of averages thing. Mm-hmm. If he comes on and does that within 2 minutes and it's his first shot, we're saying, yeah, that's it. It's still in there. But it's one of those like training ground running the same drill over and over and finally he gets one in. But psychologically, good for him to feel the sensation of scoring at San Siro again. It had been a while since his last goal at San Siro. It was the PSG game, I believe. And, you know, that wasn't a similar goal at all. That was an overhead kick into a nearly empty net. But yeah, look, job well done. I'm a bit pissed off that we conceded, but it was a deflected shot that it took to beat Mirante. And ultimately, if you'd have offered me a 4-1 with that team before the game, absolutely snatch your hand off for it. And we'll come on to the Atalanta game momentarily. But the job was done. Ultimately, that's all you can say. It was a professional, kind of efficient performance as well. We were able to manage some minutes, which was good. Ranieri sort of said after the game, look, this isn't our fight. You know, our fight is for survival. We had to rotate as well as them. And I think there was just an acknowledgement that, yeah, we had a bit more on the field on the night. And yes, we move on then. Oh, top and flop. Top for me, Luka Jovic. Bagged a brace, took his chance well. He's absolutely smashing on the door for that starting number 9 spot.
I think there's a lot of options here for this. Jovic is obviously a good one. A brace, you could never argue against that. But Teo, a brace of assists, especially being in a new position at center back. Steph, you talked about him at length, and it's definitely interesting to see the transition and how well it's gone. And the guy I want to pick is someone who might keep Teo as center back, Alex Jimenez. He's been incredible. He's only had 2 games with us, but I mean, that the start against Cagliari in this game was fantastic. You know, he looked unstoppable. He had a run today against Empoli that, you know, I'm sure is making the rounds on Twitter. That was insane as well. Yeah, I've just been really impressed with this kid, and we're probably not going to get many opportunities to give an 18-year-old a man of the match, so I'm going to pick him.
Good shout.
Quick and easy, because I do want to talk about the flop a little bit longer, but Teo, man of the match, brace of assists. I actually think the week as a whole, yeah, including the Empoli game, has been fantastic. Probably a bit of a preview if I want to give for top as well in the next game. But yeah, Teo, easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good picks. Jimenez, the one thing that I will say about him, I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, when in the first 15 minutes he went through Luvumbo down the right-hand side. He fouled him twice. Ultimately, you might say he was lucky not to get a yellow card, but that's where I was like, ah, there's a bit of dog in him. You know, he's well up for this. And then when he went on that run, yeah, there you go. Is that Chuck?
Yeah, it's a Chuck in like the Taylor Swift poster style. But yeah. With my
Christmas
dog.
It was.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic.
It's the pajama shirt, so you could tell I've done fuck all today.
Happy to make that the thumbnail, if possible. Yeah, flop of the match. Very tough one. Can't really think of anybody who did badly. And I mean badly, because there were some... There were maybe a couple of 5.5 out of 10 performances, but nobody dropped an absolute clanger. The player I was most disappointed with, who I thought might grab the moment a little bit more, was Chukwueze. So I'll say him.
Yeah, I don't think Chukwueze was terrible. I do agree he could have done better, especially with that whiff shot. I mean, that the ball fell pretty damn near perfect for him in that moment and the miss, but it led to the awesome Chaka moment. So if anything, you know, props to Chukwueze for missing that. It's hard for me to pick a flop because I did miss a pretty substantial amount of the first half. So I don't know. I feel bad. But one thing I do recall was Florenzi getting beat towards the end, which led to the deflection that came off of, I believe, Simic. But I don't want to blame Simic for that. I think it was more Florenzi getting beat. And I know that's even harsh to pick Florenzi here, but I guess that's who I'm going to go with.
Luke Romero. Easy.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even remember.
Yeah, there you go.
That's memorable. Exactly. Yeah. And it is a few things here. I think the rest of the youth players had outstanding games, and I think they really did a lot to make themselves stand out. He didn't. I get it. He's probably playing a lot of players that he's not used to playing with, but at the end of the day, you're the worst out of the Primavera players, and he didn't quite take the chance. And I think as well, if you look at the game and who came off the bench for against Empoli, it weren't him. Mm-hmm. And it was someone that did take their chance. And I think that's going to make him go down further down the pecking order. You know, we signed him from Lazio, and I think we were expecting a lot, but I think we kind of added him into that sort of that first team, the first squad, I guess, you know, caliber of wingers that we can call upon, especially after the preseason, which weren't too bad. You know, that banger he got against Real Madrid. And we kind of thought, if you looked at it the other way around, it was him above Chaka Traore coming out of preseason, who's going to get more minutes. And I think he has got more minutes. The table's turned now. It's now Chaka, and now he's now gone down because of that performance. He was in the middle of the park, attacking midfield, a crucial position. They did a few simple things right, you know, redistributing the ball for possession. But taking on a man, which is essentially what he's on the pitch to do, he just got out-bullied. I'm not going to sit here and say comparisons to Diaz in the worst ways of how, because of his size, it could be a detriment to his game. But it was quite evident that he wasn't going to beat a man essentially for pace or for power. Something he needs to work on. But for me, it was a really poor game. I thought he could have done a lot to get out of that Cagliari defence. He did. Sweet FA.
Very square head as well. That's one thing I will say about, and a Lord Farquaad haircut, which is it's not a great start, you know.
He looks naff in that suit as well, isn't it? The drip.
Yeah, way oversized. They don't even small enough for him, clearly. No, on a serious note, look, the as you mentioned, Romero didn't get any minutes against Empoli in the game we're going to come on to, but immediately after the game, Di Marzio kind of reported that I think it's Como, Cesc Fabregas is the head coach there, who were trying to sign him on loan. They're in Serie B. Lecce and Salernitana, I believe, to have knocked on the door as well, but can they guarantee him starts? I don't think so. They're in a dogfight. Romero's a bit of a luxury player because of the things you mentioned. So it might be that we're looking at a player who has gone from playing substantial minutes for Lazio last season to going on loan to the second flight, you know? But if that's what it takes to get him some confidence back, because he is still only 19, you know, he's as young as some of these Primavera players that we're talking about as gems. So there's definitely hope there.
I think he needs it though. If you compare it, because what's the change since the start of the season and now that Chaka and all these boys have been playing regularly for the Primavera in the Champions League in that tournament? And yes, it's the lowest standard than playing senior minutes, but it's still minutes, and it's sitting on the bench isn't going to get you that development. So probably the best move for him, because he's not going to back himself back into the Primavera side, because about it, going to pick him anyway. Is go on loan, whether it's the Como. I don't know if it was Lecce or is it Lecco, the other one that it looks very similar.
No, it was Lecce because Corvino's apparently a fan of him. And then there's rumours that he wants to go back to Spain. So is there the aspect that a young man has moved abroad and he feels a bit homesick, you know? We've seen it with better players than him, Paqueta being one of them. Yeah.
The move that gets him the most amount of minutes, I think, that makes most sense. And obviously that level of it needs to be competitive, and it needs to be enough. would he play? I don't know.
I don't know if he gets in over Bojan Radulovic. We shall move on to the Empoli game, which happened just a few hours ago. So we're riding the crest of a wave here into this one. Early kickoff for you, AJ, but it was worth waking up for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always going to be up for it, right? I'm never going to miss a game here unless I'm in the office, apparently.
Apart from the first part of the last game that we talked
about. Yeah, I know. That's why I was like, well, I just talked myself into a hole. Yeah. But we move. Yeah, this first goal from Loftus-Cheek, it was early. It was 11 minutes in. A beautiful assist. Really a beautiful team play, to be honest with you. I don't remember who. I think it was Reinders won it back in the middle under some pressure and beat his man. And then took the first time pass to Rafa instead of trying to make the run himself. So intelligent play, great hold up. Everything about that, fantastic. Everything I've been complaining about Reinders not doing, he resolved in this play. So that was great. Got it to Rafa. Rafa does a little flick over thing that always beats everyone, does it. And instead of being selfish, knowing he still hasn't had a Serie A goal since September, he said, let me just lay this perfectly to the middle of the box for Ruben Loftus-Cheek. And then he basically toe poked it. I know it wasn't a toe poke, but it had the trajectory of one, you know, just a straight fucking rocket. Yeah, fantastic. Bottom right corner. You can't ask for a better start to any game, really. Beautiful, very thrilled. It's one of those moments where, like you say, now Rafa's looking back if it happens immediately. And obviously, as the game went on, you know, he wasn't, but he still wasn't a bad player today. I just want to throw that out there. He was borderline. But then we had a penalty, ironic, because everyone was bitching about not having Jovic starting, myself included. And then Giroud, of course, scores. He scores a freebie, as it is, and he made it. It was the best penalty you're ever going to see, but it was unintentional. I think he whiffed it, and it just was lucky to go in. But Alex Jimenez won it, right, by attempting a bicycle kick?
No, it was Loftus-Cheek who tried.
Was it Loftus-Cheek? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
The Loftus-Cheek tried that bicycle kick, and then the camera panned to Zlatan in the crowd, and he looked fuming. It's like, what are you doing? Hang on, that's my thing. Funny, because someone that I don't know if you've seen on Twitter, some guy called Ahmed Bader did a video about handballs being over-penalised in football, and then Milan got one this week. It couldn't have fallen any better. I thought of him immediately when it happened. But one thing I will say, it was Murrah, I think, who got penalised for the penalty. I thought it was Ranocchia, who'd just come on for their injured player, but it wasn't. It was Murrah, the midfielder. The funniest thing for me was the replays are going on simultaneously, split screen replays there, and then you're watching his pleading with the referee where he's saying, no, it was like this.
I was protecting my face.
The replay shows him going for a layup.
He's like when Wembanyama trying to get a block.
That's who it was. Yeah. I was talking with a mate, and we were trying to remember who it was who essentially volleyball spiked the ball. Giroud puts it in off the crossbar. Steph, anything on the first and second goals?
The first goal, was it? Did he kind of open his body up?
No, it's like open side foot finish.
That one foot was quite fitting, because I think, you know, we bitch on Reinders all season. He's been trying to get that goal all season, and then RLC just does it. The first time I've ever seen him trying to do it, he's just like, that's how you do it, lad. Not like you're now finishing that you can't seem to get. But yeah, no, really good. Yeah, and I think with Rafa, and I think just going back to our comments from before, and I think we all want to see improvements in his finishing and the way he attacks players to score a goal. I've got no knock on how he redistributes the balls and gets fantastic assists all season. That has gone up in my opinion. I think as to be an elite player against the likes he's become trying to be compared to, which Vinicius Juniors and your Mbappe's in that position, he needs to drive inwards and then go at defenders much more, you know, aggressively to score goals. And that's the element of his game that he needs to improve. And for me also, showing himself out throughout more consistently throughout the game as well, you know, being willing more to give me that ball so I can drive at attackers. And that's the bit of his game I really want to see improve on. But yeah, I cannot knock his assists and his willingness to take on at least around the side of the fullback to then obviously lay it back inwards. But yeah, really good goal. The first one, and the second one. Yeah. I mean, like, Giroud, man, I love Giroud, but like, yeah, it's just kind of like I put a tweet. I was like, you know, stat pad in a penalty, but he hasn't had too many penalties this season. I know he missed the one in the Champions League, but yeah, pretty solid. But yeah. It made sense for him to start against Empoli as well, because Jovic, you think he's going to get the nod against Atalanta, which makes sense. It's a more bigger game and a game that's going to be more of an ask. But yeah, it was a really flat game from Giroud, which we'll come on to with tops and flops. But he got his goal, which is nice for him. But yeah, anyway, ended up first half finished at what, 2-0 again? Loving the 2-0s at halftime.
Napoli, Lecce, the ghosts. We needed to chase them away. I was a little bit worried, to be honest, because I think we could have even scored another one in that half, just to put it to bed. But
wasn't Salernitana as well? I think that's
That was 1-1 at half time. Fazio scored that header from a. Oh, was the Salernitana?
No.
The season before.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. It was 1-1, and then they went up, and then we.
Leao, interesting point. I think that we've seen the very best moments from Rafael Leao when, as Steph rightly points out, he shapes up to go inside and then goes byline instead, because that's when you see all of his athleticism, and when he's able to knock the ball past the fullback. It might be 5 yards, 10 yards, but he's always going to be the first one to the other side of it. You think about that goal against Napoli in the 4-0. You know, when he takes it down to the left-hand side and then hits it with his left foot first time into the far corner. That assist against Napoli in the Champions League, same thing. He beats two men, he goes to the outside, cuts it back, lays it on a plate for Giroud. That derby performance against Inter, same thing.
Ultimately, darted
down to the left side, got the better of Skriniar and the other man, but then opened his body up to finish inside the far post. It feels like we haven't seen much of Rafa cutting inside and putting it in the top corner. That isn't him. He's not Suso, you know? I think he needs to just go back to basics in that sense. And that, I hope that Suso comment's not going to be taken seriously. It probably is. But anyway, that's the point. Use what you're good at. Your weapon is your athleticism, and it's you knocking it past your man. And you. I think now defenders are showing him inside so much more because of that. So it's important that, yeah, he gets back to that. And then...
I think, just to continue with that, I think a lot of why we're criticizing him right now is he's being more selfish than normal. You know, think back to the Sassuolo game to win us a Scudetto. He had 3 assists, and he did the same thing every single time. Won the ball, beat the guy, put it in the center. It's exactly how Loftus-Cheek scored today. But the rest of them, you know, you look early in the game. I can't even remember who was there, but there was a few opportunities for him to cross it to the center and put it in. And even though, yes, he still has 5 assists this season, like, he knows how to do it. We see him do it. But he's so in his head right now about, I got to get this league goal. I haven't had one since September. He's not taking the right opportunities. He's not taking the easy chance every time. He's had the chance to put on, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4 more assists this season, and he's not taking them because he wants the goal. And when you're scoring, you know, you don't fault the player for that. But like you said, he's trying to cut in and take these curler shots that are just going wide every time, or they're going above the net. You know, like, he's clearly not doing that. And as you said earlier today, his finishing is what we're asking more of. And until he improves that, you know, I'd rather see him go for the assist, because he could still put up 20 goals and assists a season if he focused on his assist.
Could have had another with that Pulisic header. That was a lovely stand-up cross.
Yeah, and that was on Pulisic, who up until his assist in that moment was honestly invisible today. So USMNT fans, you know, don't shoot the messenger. It was one of those days. But Pulisic has been there quite a few times. You see him getting in the right position in the center of the box. You see it with Jovic, with Giroud, a lot less today, but other times throughout the season. They're there. They're in those positions. And to be fair, Reinders has missed a few shots when Leao did make those passes. But what I'm saying is there's opportunities for Leao to stat pad these assists and give us more. And he's not taking them because he wants the goal that just simply isn't the right choice.
Just lastly on it, and I think he made some comments, was it, before the Cagliari game of, I could really up my numbers from a scoring perspective if I was more selfish. I could, you know, if you want me to put up like Mbappe or like numbers, I can do that. But I'm not, I'm selfless. And obviously I'll get more assists and I'll think about the path rather than the finish. And a bit of me is like, you know, that's great to hear because I love a selfless player. But also there's a bit of me going like, I don't actually believe you, not to be horrible, but I don't fully believe you can get those numbers because I just don't think it's in your game. Rafa, for me, is a player who likes to look at the game from the outside looking in. yeah, from the outside there looking in rather than sort of the inside. Mm-hmm. We've tried him many times before at the season as a centre forward. Even a bit, there's a bit in the second half of the Empoli game where he picks up the ball and he's got Reinders and he's got Pulisic in front of him. He doesn't quite know what pass to make and he just goes for this really weird long ball through the Reinders, which ends up with a goal kick. He loves his positions. He loves it from the wing, collecting it from deep sometimes as well to make on those runs with the overlaps from Teo as well. He knows what he's good at in that side. So obviously I want him to keep doing that. But if he's ever going to evolve his game, he needs to be willing to play inwards in the middle of those, you know, those lines between the fullback and the centre backs, willing to do a bit more physicality wise. Yeah, and just and also the finishing as well. When he cuts in, I would think, and he, comparing him ever to someone like Thierry Henry, those bits when he cuts in and to get that sort of that in-swinger, that right foot and to the top right corner, he needs to work on that finishing a hell of a lot more because. Yeah, really good with assists and really good with those low drives. But yeah, I'll never forget that Atalanta goal, which when we were away from home and we beat them 3-2. Mm-hmm. More goals like that, where he's just like fantastic finishing from the edge of the box in his top right corner, blow your socks off. He's got it in his locker, but he needs to kind of get that back into his locker.
If I'm a coach, I'm not a professional coach, just to put it on the record. But if I'm a coach, I've noticed one thing that Liao always does when he cuts inside to shoot on his right. He leans back as he takes the shot. And that's why it always ends up going up. If he stays firm, nice fixed posture, as we saw against Cagliari, yeah, it might have been a bit of a, you know, easy goal given the circumstances, but lovely precision shot inside the far post. There was a bit of measure, control, but still the power necessary to score that goal. But difficult question, and this is perhaps something that needs to be discussed in a whole separate thing, but I just wonder with Rafa, 24, you know, he will turn 25 this season. Are we starting to see like this is him? We have to accept that is the kind of player he is. He's going to drift in and out of games. He's going to make bad decisions. You know, for all the talk of becoming a Vinicius or a Mbappe, they're a lot younger than him. And it does make you think. It does make you think if when that next level is going to come and does it change? Does it take a different coach to get something more out of him? Does it take a change in club even? We've actually got an interview with Liao's agent coming up this week, so. Stay tuned for that one. And on the Giroud thing, before we move on to Xhaka's goal and wrap this game up, I think he's goosed. He was starting near enough every game in the first half of the season. Like I think he's literally just knackered. First half of the season, I gave him a lot of credit because even when he wasn't scoring, he wasn't getting involved too much, he was pressing hard, he was cutting out passing lanes. You can only do that three times a week for so long. And now we've got a bit of an opportunity to rotate. I hope that he'll recharge his batteries and start to get back to what Pioli saw in him as like the comfort blanket. Xhaka Traore, lovely goal to make it 3-0 right at the end. Pulisic, selfless, waited for the perfect moment to play the pass through. Okay, it wasn't the most difficult pass, but he led that break perfectly. And a nice finish for Xhaka.
Yeah, nothing else to say to that. I mean, I could attack Liao and say he wouldn't have made that pass if it was him instead of Pulisic, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to say that. So, yeah.
You kind of did, but anyway.
Nope.
No, it's good. No, it's a great goal. Like I said before, it was the goal that I kind of, in my mind, hoping that Xhaka would score would be much more in that mold. But a bit of me kind of thought after his first touch, did he let the defender get a little bit too close to it? But no, it was perfect. And props to Pulisic as well, you know, driving the ball forward from the counter attack. Lays up perfectly and Xhaka doesn't have to do much more than obviously have just two touches and then this in the back of the net and then obviously their celebrations with it was on the Rafa, Simic, all the youngsters, kind of like deja vu from midweek, but really good and who knows, I think out of this sort of injury crisis, is this the trust to the youngsters getting their chances, has this now revitalized the squad in believing in what we're doing again here? Because sometimes you need something a bit different to come along and to sort of bring things into account and be like, okay, let's just kind of actually give a little bit more here. I think there's a bit more energy now with the Primavera players kind of in the mold a little bit. And maybe there's a bit more sort of freedom with that and lowering the expectations of what these players are doing and let them actually focus on playing good football. Who knows, hopefully a bit more of that to come, but really happy for Xhaka, obviously. Two goals in two games is fantastic. And it's his moment.
Yeah, it certainly is. And speaking of youngsters, 84th minute, we saw the return of the youngster Matteo Gabbia, which was good to see. back from Villarreal. His loan was terminated earlier in the week. We've kind of spoken in previous weeks about the hypothesis of terminating his loan, but it was the easiest thing we could do to instantly bolster the defence and get a ready player in. I think another centre-back's going to follow based on Moncada's comments before the game today. But yeah, he came in, I guess, got his legs warm and that was it, really. I'd say we took our foot off the gas a little bit in the second half. You could say it was a bit of management, game management, you know, with a big game coming up in midweek and then Roma the game after. But you know, Empoli had a couple of chances to get themselves back into the game, and then we might be talking about a completely different outcome. So there was that, but we'll move on to tops and flops. Top for me, I've actually criticised him in recent weeks because I think that probably due to a combination of his physical issues, but also just a failure to be the leader of the midfield that we saw earlier in the season, I'm going for Loftus-Cheek. Took his goal really well, nearly had a second with that howitzer of a shot. From about 25 yards in the second half. But I thought he was really, really good in a more advanced role. And this is it. Like, there are a couple of players, Tomori being one of them, but obviously he's out. And I think RLC being another, where it's like, we will go as far as they take us. So I'll say him.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said about the midfield and every praise you gave to Loftus-Cheek, except I'm going to give it all to Reinders, obviously minus the goal praise. But I'll give him his praise in his part of that goal. I think Reinders definitely, I don't want to say like a breakthrough coming out performance because he's had quite a few really good performances this season, but I think this was the one where he did so many good things that even if he were to fuck something up towards the end, I wouldn't have even thought of it, you know? Like, I think he was really just on top of his game. And as we mentioned, he's played every single game this season, started all but one, and he's still putting in these performances at 90 minutes. I think he's fantastic. You know, it was nice to see Musa return. I thought he was okay. He didn't really play a whole lot, so nothing there. But yeah, Reiner's definitely, for me, held down this game.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go for someone born in France who I thought was really good defensively. Yeah, great composure on the ball. Yassine Adli, you know, I thought... No. Is he actually born in France? I don't know.
I just don't know what the relevance of it was.
Why did you think you were going to pick Giroud or Teo?
Okay.
Yeah. And then obviously
Teo born in Spain.
Was he?
Yeah, he
was. Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, whatever. I was going to say French for Adli, but I think he's elected nationality elsewhere, so it's
probably Algerian.
Yeah. Anyway, Teo Hernandez again. Simple reason, he's just been incredible in defence. Crucial block at 2-0, I think from Caputo. Even he was like sort of like in awe, like, what the hell, how did he get that block on me? And just, yeah, just been incredible with his performances. And he's got a really weird position now. It's kind of like, we're all looking at, we love that we kind of have this sort of the slower centre-back next to the faster one, which obviously he's kind of covering for that Tomori mold a little bit. And once the Tomori does come back, he's obviously going to get that spot back. But what he's doing right now is just incredible work, just to even us, to allow us to have that coverage should this situation ever happen again. And yeah, he's just going to, he's got a position which is really weird where like he gets the freedom to drive forward and I don't know. Yeah, so Pioli's managed to get it to work. So credit to Pioli as well on that one. But yeah, Teo, just simply emphatic in defence. Yeah.
Teo was born in Marseille, so apologies for that. I just thought because he came through the Atletico and Real Madrid youth system, he might have been. But I think
well, Ollie, you fought wrong, didn't you?
Oh, you're not laughing now.
You were laughing 2 minutes ago. But anyway,
flop of the match, Giroud. Unfortunately, I know I've given him a little bit of a pass by saying that he's goosed, which I do believe he is. I think he's cooked at the moment, and the more that we can manage his minutes, the better. I mean, he is 37. He scored the penalty in off the bar, so he'll get a goal. But we need so much more. Our number nine has not scored. I know we were away in this game, but our number nine has not scored a home goal in the league since August. And that stat remains until
it doesn't.
Yeah.
I'm going to echo that. You know, we just did a whole segment attacking Leao for not scoring a league goal since September. And yet here's our starting striker without one since August. And Jovic on the bench has five in his last like six games or something crazy. Just to continue with Giroud's stats from this game, I'll start defensively since that's the least important for a striker, but he only won one duel the entire game. He attempted zero tackles, meaning he didn't do a whole lot defensively. He was dispossessed. He had zero successful dribbles, only touched the ball three times in their box, 27 total. One of those touches in the box is a penalty kick as well, by the way. Yeah, I mean, his only shot on target was the penalty, and he only completed 8 passes the whole game. That's about as non-existent as it gets. The only reason we know he played is because we saw Jovic wasn't on the starting sheet. That's the only reason we even remember Giroud was there. He had a really bad game, and look, yeah, even though he scored, it's what he's not doing elsewhere. There was a moment this season where he was scoring goals in games in open play, then we're like, all right, Giroud's still got it, fine wine, blah, 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 all this stuff. And then it went back to the holy shit, stop with all these crazy flicks. Now he can't even get the ball to do one of these flicks. I mean, yeah, he's just not there. He's missing every ball that's coming near him. You're seeing a lot of those like lunging forward, like, ah, oh, I can't get there, that type of thing. And it's just really frustrating, especially when you see someone like Jovic in the form that he's been in with his runs and his ability to touch and reach for balls and make something out of nothing. Like, that's what we need. We've been talking about wanting a mobile striker for a while. Jovic seems to be more that than the others, and Giroud seeming to be the least likely profile, and yet he's the one starting playing full 90s and not doing anything with it. So that's my thought.
Agreed with all.
Yeah, yeah. Agree with a lot of what you said there. Also going to add double echo, and Giroud, I think, for flop. Yeah, and it makes you think, innit? If we can get this out of Jovic right now, like, I know a lot of us are sort of, we see these names that were rumored to the likes of Jonathan David. Oh, Santana 1-0.
That's how the midweek game started, and they lost 6-1, so.
Yeah. Yeah, well. You know, we're rumored to get people like Jonathan David, and we're saying, oh, you know, is he good enough? Is he truly good enough? If we can get this conversion out of someone like Jovic, who's been god-awful in form. Yeah, he had a decent season last season at Fiorentina, but he wasn't even a starter for them. If we can get the best out of them, and it's a symbol as well for Giroud, too, that he's this age, and of course he's like mercurial, and he's never aged like fine wine, but ultimately, I think creativity-wise, we can get a lot out of these strikers, and it makes you just think for next season. I think like we have to look at Jovic the way it's formed right now. He's banking himself a backup spot the next year, and we have to look at the striker position, the number nine, that whoever's starting for us. And I think that, Ollie, you mentioned last season you weren't too happy on us renewing Giroud for this year. I think, or you would have preferred, I think, for him to potentially go. I think that's kind of like, we're halfway through the season and it's kind of coming to light, I think, that sort of prediction. Whereas I think that we have to put praise on the first half of the season. He's been putting up numbers and been playing those 3 games a week, and he's been relatively fit. So you have to give him the praise there. But I think we're kind of seeing the extent of what he can offer us, and then also how far our game can potentially go with him in the side. And I think the longer we keep a coach like Pioli, which obviously we don't want to do beyond this season, but I just don't think it makes much sense to renew him this summer. I think the right move is to see him out before it gets even worse and his form gets worse, and then that ruins his legacy at the club. I think this is the right time, the end of the season, to say goodbye to him. But ultimately, it's another performance of I think that just symbolises his limitations. And yeah, the flick-ons. And I just feel like he just was a ghost in this game, which is even worse than his attempts to do flick-ons, because it's almost as if like he was hidden. And
we could well be talking here about a player who finishes our top scorer this season. You know, that's strange in a way. It is a strange paradox that we've got with Giroud, except we can all use our eyes and we can see what we're getting and what we're not getting, and we can see that there's penalties and not much from open play anymore. So here we are.
Exactly.
The rumour that came out during the last week from Gazzetta, and they've hammered at this a few times, is that he's not entirely convinced by the idea of renewing, and that he's tempted by a move to the MLS. So be interesting to see if that develops. But that does seem to me like the kind of thing a 38-year-old should be doing, rather than trying to start twice a week and playing Champions League football. But of course, he will be thanked for everything that he's done.
Giroud, I do want to say, is that if he is to stay, or even for the rest of this season, I wouldn't mind him as the backup option until the end of this year, behind Jovic, you know, or even Okafor. We've seen it a few times where we're chasing a game, and we bring Jovic on and we play him alongside Giroud. I would like that in reverse, where Jovic is on and then we bring Giroud on, because he can do those flicks if he's rested, if he's healthy. And with a guy like Jovic, we've seen that he actually can get on to weird balls. So I don't know. I think he has a role at this age, at this point in his career. It's just certainly not a starting striker for a Champions League level team. You know,
I just think this. I thought about that myself. I just don't think that's respectful enough for him. I think he doesn't want that. Why would you want to be like, no offense, but like the third striker in a one striker formation, and then he's going to get like, I don't know, he's not, this isn't like Mandzukic when we brought him back and he hadn't, like all those sort of scenarios. He's still, you know, last season a starting for France in a World Cup final, like Champions semi-final with Milan, like putting up good numbers. I just think the time has come for him mm-hmm. to then transcend to another league where he can still get the starting spot, but then also like, see out his career in bit of like tranquility rather than sort of like higher level of pressure. And I think just last thing on Jovic as well, I think I looked at his stats. I think he's on like a goal, a goal contribution, but a goal every 114 minutes, which is says a lot about how we're creating a lot for these attackers, which is fantastic. And like, let's bring in another a younger player as well, and then let's see them also excel. But
yes, absolutely. And then you've got players like Colombo as well who could re-enter the fold, although he's gone a little bit cold recently. Yeah, let's move on. Atalanta preview then in the Coppa Italia. Given that we played them recently in the league and we kind of, you know, looked over there, what happened with them in the summer and the fact that they've been a little bit up and down in the league so far this season, we won't do too much of a deep dive on them. All I'll say is that there is a desire for revenge, given that they beat us in the last minute through that Luis Muriel back heel finish or like whatever it was, you know, the cheeky finish that he did past Maignan. Which, yeah, it kind of plunged us into a little bit of a top four crisis at the time. They are playing Roma this evening at home. So I suppose we've got a few hours more rest than them. But I think more importantly, it's what that game means for the top four fight, because that's 7th v 8th, and Atalanta with a win would claw to within a point of Fiorentina in 4th. So, yeah, Atalanta in the cup, what kind of a team are you playing for this one? Are we going back to rotating? Are we playing a strong team? Because the semi-finals are there if we win this one.
Yeah, I think we're still going to rotate, but it'll be a stronger team than it was last week. You know, I don't think we'll see Morante. I think Maignan will probably start. It should be Jovic, because if Drew got 90 today, then the only reason is you're saving Jovic after mm-hmm. his comments about, you know, I play them so that they could relieve each other, whatever it was. So I still think we see some youngsters. It'll still probably be Teo as a center back. I would hope so. But this is a game that he's going to want revenge for, right? Our last loss was that, and it was 5 games ago. We don't want to bookend our winning streak with losses to Atalanta, especially not one that eliminates you from a cup. I think Atalanta is also going to have to rotate. So there's an opportunity for us to start out much stronger than them and come out on top. I think it's a revenge match for us, for Pioli, for the players, and yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Mm. Yeah, I said before in the chat, but Lookman's obviously gone out for AFCON duty, so that's great for us that he's off the table. Obviously, we've lost Chukwueze and Bedecera as well, but from an attacking threat, he's been obviously pretty good this season. CDK came out with, I think, like a message after the game, the win against Sassuolo midweek with, you know, Milani to watch out for us. Look, we are going to obviously rotate slightly, but I'm interested to see what happens at left back. With Florenzi going down injured today against Empoli, what do we do? Do we give Jimenez the spot there and Tail plays in midfield in the middle with either Simic, Gabbio, or Kjær? Or do we put Tail back in his natural position and then put Simic next to Kjær, or, you know, Gabbio next to Kjær? I'd be more inclined to keep Tail where he's really succeeding and keep him in the middle and then give Jimenez that chance on the left because he didn't play 90 minutes today. And I think the rest of the team kind of picks itself. I think we play like a relatively solid midfield with, you know, Adley, Reinders, RLC. And up front, I think we play the starters. We play Rafa, Pulisic and Jovic in the middle. And I think and then Maignan in goal. I think the interesting bit is going to be a left back. We have to go to win this game because I think the semis are not until April, I think.
Yeah.
So
that's a while away.
Yeah, so it's not even like, okay, we add this and we book on more fixtures. We do book on more fixtures, but we book them on when we hope to get more players back. So, and we got to look at this chance. It's a huge chance. Look, the semi-finals between Fiorentina and Bologna over two legs. I fancy us. Then also I fancy them playing whoever's going to be our Juventus, Roma, Lazio, and I can't remember who the other fourth team is.
It's basically from,
them. Yeah, basically, yeah. So like, let's just go for the win. Like, it's a huge result midweek. And I think if we're looking a bit more ahead, if we're worried about getting injuries ahead of the Roma game on the weekend, I think we've created enough distance, at least for the last couple of weeks, from the chasing pack. That, and also, I'm also convinced in how we do at home against Roma as well. I think we just play as strong as 11 if possible, and then let's see how the game goes on. But yeah, a little bit worried about Atalanta's form. They've been pretty decent. Obviously, yeah, not so much worried about CDK, but it's more like he's in a good stretch of form. And yeah, I think the rest of the side, yeah, been interesting one. But we're at home. I thought we were away from home, so I got that completely wrong. But let's just get the win and hopefully do it in 90 minutes as well. And then we're looking good.
Yeah, that would be the ideal. Because obviously, while it's a one-legger, got the possibility of extra time and penalties if it's required. Selection, we're kind of in the dark. We don't know what's going on with Florenzi. Pioli said after the game that he came off and he thinks he got it just in time. Like, he was feeling a bit of discomfort, but it didn't develop into a strain. Like, the medic didn't come on or anything. He just walked off himself. So hopefully it was literally that. But I don't think we're going to see him play. I think Jimenez will start at left back. And Pioli has said recently, I think it was before the Cagliari game, he said Kier can't play two games in a row anymore, slash at the moment. It was I think it's anymore, basically, because obviously he's in his mid-30s and he's struggled with various injury setbacks. So I think it'll be Teo and Gabbia at centre-back, because Gabbia is probably like-for-like, kind of slow but good in the air sort of thing. And then, yeah, I agree, rest of the team with what you boys predicted. Speaking of predictions, I think we get our revenge. I don't see us keeping a clean sheet in this one. I think Atalanta are dangerous and they seem to cause us problems home or away. And I'm going to go with a 2-1 victory for us, and it's going to be in extra time.
I was also going to pick an extra time victory, but I was going to go 3-2, just reverse the previous game score. I think it's going to be a little cagey and we might actually go behind early. I think CDK is probably going to get that goal against us with as close as he was in the reverse with his comments. Like, he wants that goal more than anything. So I just keep an eye on that. They're going to attack the weaker spots, be it Gabbia or Jimenez. They're not sure. But they're going to find a way. And I think it's going to be an uphill battle, but we'll eventually come out on top. It'll just be not a fun game to watch.
I'm going 2-0 in normal time. I think Jovic scores. That's at least one goal. I think, yeah, hopefully good numbers rock up San Siro midweek, and then we you know, scare the shit out of them. And let's go.
Yeah, and one thing also, like, we've had debates on here before about Milan and the ticket pricing and you know, Champions League, it's gone massively up and stuff like that. But for this game, for non-season ticket holders, they're doing tickets as cheap as €7, I think. Obviously, that's for kids. Wow. But there's been some really, really accessibly priced tickets, shall we say. And also, I went on to look at the Sad Renee game as well, obviously Europa League playoff round first leg, and they were doing some sales in like the first tier orange and red for sort of €35, which is, you know, I think they're trying, basically. They're trying to make sure it's full every single game. Perhaps they know that advanced sales haven't been as good with the form that the team's been in and stuff, but they're trying to pack the place out for that game on Wednesday night, and I hope it will be. Let's move on then quickly. Roma preview. Always tough to preview the games that are after one that's to come in between, because we don't know about injuries, we don't know what the lineup's going to be for the Atalanta game, and therefore what might constitute a rotation for the game after. But this could be a big one. We beat Roma away earlier in the season. It feels like we've kind of had their number in recent years. And Roma are still, as they have been under Mourinho, really. They'll pull out a couple of results that make you think, okay, they're on a little bit of a top four charge. And then you look at the table and you realise that they're in eighth and they're on level points with Napoli still. So, yeah. How do you feel about this one?
So, if you look back at their run of form, they haven't won two consecutive games since October. They've alternated wins, loss, win, loss, win, loss, and then it was a string of win, draw, win, draw, win, draw, and then it was win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. So looking at that now, they play in about 2 hours here. If they follow that form, they're losing to Atalanta today, and then they're going to beat Lazio in the cup, and then they're going to lose to us. And, you know, science doesn't lie, so there we go.
Well, I like science. But I go with logic. I think logically, Yeah, Cristante and Mancini are both booking away from suspension, and they're playing at home against Atalanta. Hopefully, they kick the shit out of each other tonight and then make our next two games a lot easier. But yeah, and I wouldn't mind not having to put up with Mancini for another 90 minutes because I think he's an arsehole. Yeah, prick. Sorry for swearing that much in the space of like 20 seconds, but here we are. And Cristante, which my brother thinks is my lookalike, but I don't know how he lands on that, but here we are. I think what's different since the last time we played, I think Lukaku obviously had just joined, I think.
Yeah, it was his first game. He came on late.
Obviously, you kind of edged their way towards that one, but tomorrow got sent off as well. We were kind of close in that game, and that was away from home too. So a little bit, I mean, I'm not to be concentrating too much on Lukaku this season, but, you know, with our centre-back sort of changes, where does that leave us against Mark and Lukaku? You know, if I had Tamori in the pitch, I'm bang confident that we'll keep him down. But yeah, just how he is kind of like as a bully forward against someone who, like Teo, as much as he's been fantastic, maybe not has come across a player like that in a centre-back position. So let's just make sure we do our due diligence and make sure that we keep him under lock. And then Dybala missed the first game too, which, you know, he's back, but, you know, who knows, he might get injured midweek as well because he's injury prone too. But look, I think we can get at them defensively. I'm looking at their sort of like their injuries and suspensions. I think, you know, if all goes to plan with potentially some suspensions there, certainly get at, like, yeah, Celik, Cristante, Llorente. Like, I'm not too worried about that defence. I think we'll definitely put some goals past them, but it's just, you know, can we stay very locked in defensively against that attack, which on paper looks quite threatening, but, you know, this is a Mourinho side who's boring part of the bus sort of element to it. So I think we get another win in this. I'm very confident going into these next two games, certainly at San Siro.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Roma's fixtures here, and they've had a bit of a murderer's row schedule from like mid-December onwards. They had Bologna away, which they lost comfortably in the end. I remember watching that and they were outplayed. Napoli at home, a game that they won. Then they played Juventus away last and lost. They've got Atalanta tonight, and then they've got us. So that's a pretty tough five-game stretch.
Lazio in the cup in between us.
And Lazio in the cup as well, yes. So that is a rough stretch. So maybe they'll be a bit tired. Maybe, I hope. But the thing that gives me the most faith is as Steph alluded to there, this is a Mourinho team, and he isn't going to come to San Siro looking for a win, I don't think. We had them 2-0 down. Well, we were 2-0 up against them in January of last year, when it looked like we might be getting ourselves back into the Scudetto picture. And we unforgivably threw that game away, and it sparked a crisis. That night, Roma only sprang into life when they went a couple of goals behind. I feel like if we get in front this time, we're going to manage it better. And that might be famous last words, but I really hope that we've learned our lessons on that front. I think we win 2-0 this time.
I'm going to continue with the high scoring predictions here. You know, we're the top scoring Italian side of 2024, unless Juventus scored two goals after recording. So yeah, I'm going to go with another 3-goal margin. Not margin. I'll go 3-1.
I'll go 2-1. And knowing all this crap I've been saying about them tonight, I think Giroud and Rafa score some goals.
Yeah.
I think this is a Giroud game.
Yeah, and I think Pioli is going to pick him. I think Jovic starts midweek, and I know I'm saying like Jovic is going to score a goal. I just think typically Pioli is going to go back to the whole rotation element and go, you know what, here's your start against Roma to Giroud. And I think he scores because I think, yeah, he can certainly get out a back line of, yeah, Celik, Cristante, Llorente. Like, put some crosses in there. I know, who knows? You get his big old head on it. So
got something shocking for you here, boys. After we play Roma, we have a week off. There's no midweek game the next week. So that is a big chance to get players rested up. I believe that one of the centre-backs, is it Chow or is it Kalulu? Might be Chow. Yeah. He's due back mid-Jan. So if we can get him in during that break, and Okafor is apparently going to be back for the Roma game. If we don't rush him, you know, he might only get minutes off the bench and whatever, then, you know, that could be a good sort of five-day break where we can get him up to speed in training and stuff. Because after that, we've got Udinese and then following that Bologna. We're looking at a stretch of games here where we've got one game a week. Basically, we play on the 20th, 27th, 3rd of Feb, 11th of Feb. So make the most of those no midweeks. Let's move on and do a couple of questions. I promise we'd do a couple of questions because we didn't get to any on the last episode. But apologies. When we're covering four games, it is quite hard to do so in a timely fashion. I'm just looking down at the questions, tweets here. Hassan Abujiri asks, two potential targets for us. Number one, Alessandro Buongiorno as a replacement for Simon Kjær, and Goodmanson for next season, Albert Goodmanson at Genoa. Thoughts on those two?
I think Goodmanson's had a great season. I know Buongiorno was linked to Napoli. After the game today, I don't see why he'd want to leave Torino for them. So maybe he comes to us. I'd be happy with it.
Yeah, no, really good. I'm more convinced on, I don't know, I'm a bit old school with it. I love attackers. Goodmanson looks great and really good. But yeah, I want to keep talking about Xerxes. I think I like him about more because he's a bit more physicality to him. Because I know Moncada was there midweek to scout. Friday when they both played Genoa.
Yeah, Friday night,
You know, there's Goodmanson, there's Dragosin's obviously going to go to Tottenham most likely. There's a few players there on the pitch, Ferguson. But yeah, Xerxes is definitely the one, I think, for me. It's an interesting one because it's a bit of me also, is he going to be, cause we talk about the number nine position and we talk about who's the replacement for Giroud. Am I sold on Xerxes? I don't know. It's a bit of a hard one because I do want us to get him, but then am I going to hang my hat on him being the 20 goal season striker? I don't know, but I don't know. It's a bit of a weird one. But yeah, Goodmanson, I really like him. I think he's got a lot of talent. And he's played really well against big sides this season as well, which is also very impressive. But a bit of me that does kind of fear that, you know, what's he like when he gets a move to a bigger club and, you know, maybe defences are a bit more stacked on against him rather than sort of running into sort of open play defenders in a high line. But yeah, really good so far. I think they can't really ask much more from him this season. And Buongiorno, I don't know. I'm always a bit skeptical about Italian players. I don't think they're the best, but here we are.
Yeah, speaking of Italian players, Filippo Terracciano is expected to sign from Verona. So I anticipate if all goes to plan that the bonus will be a deep dive on him for next week or the next episode anyway. But yeah, I fully agree with everything you just said there. I think my pick, if we were going for a Kjær replacement, and by Kjær replacement, we obviously mean a defender that what they perhaps lack in speed and athleticism, they make up for with positioning, anticipation, awareness, aerial ability, which I think you need next to somebody like a Tomori or Kalulu, who's a more aggressive get-to-the-line defender. It would have been Radu Dragosin, but it sounds like he's going to Spurs now or potentially to Napoli, you know, either or. I do think we need that mold of defender. And I think we're at the stage now where we can say they don't trust Gabbia to be that. But who knows? He might have a fantastic second half of the season. I think with centre-backs, you need two complementary pairings and then a value and a trusted reserve. You know, you probably need five centre-backs there for. Something like a Tomori Chow was perfect, looked great together. Then, you know, as you back up, you might have a Kalulu Kjær type pairing. Again, size and athleticism. And then Gabbia might have been your sort of fifth choice or whatever. But it's early, and I don't think we're going to invest big on a centre-back like a Buongiorno would cost 25, 30 mil plus. Same with Dragosin. If anything, it might be a Brassier type who's at Brest, and Moncada confirmed before today's game that he's a profile that we've been watching for a couple of years, but he said there's no agreement yet. I wouldn't be surprised if we make an investment like that. 10, 12 mil seems to be our sweet spot. Move on. I'll do one more question. Pato Run asks, the players seem to be on Pioli's side. Would it be wise to fire him after this team have already seen the firing of Maldini? And I will also add in a quote today that came after the game from Teo Hernandez. He was in front of the cameras and he spoke to Sky. And the reporter asked him, are the team behind Pioli? And he said, we've always been with him. We don't listen to what people say. We're with the coach until the end. And then someone replied and said that hopefully the end is near. But, you know.
Well, you're not going to come out in an interview and say, yeah, we can't wait for this guy to get sacked. Like, you know, so that means almost nothing to me. Do I think he's lost the locker room? I think he has in moments, and I think he gains it back in moments. And it's like all things, you know, every relationship has its ups and downs, and, you know, a manager's no different. So, I don't know. If they keep winning, he's obviously not going to get sacked, right? Like, they're there was a good reason to sack him before the Sassuolo game. A few games on, you know, it's looking like, hey, maybe not. Maybe because we've scored so many goals and so many, you know, like 7 goals in 2 games this year. Why would we sack our manager with that? But, you know, I haven't played anyone tough yet, so hard to see. Likely he makes it to the end of the season, and without a Scudetto, he doesn't stay. That's my assumption.
Yeah, like, I'll eat my words if, like, he wins, like, the Coppa and gets quite far in Europe. Because I think that's the biggest problem for me. It's just, like, I'm not going to sit here convinced because we beat Empoli and beat Cagliari convincingly. Like yeah, we're playing well against weak sides, which is one of my biggest issues about Pioli. But the thing, like, giving youth a chance, everyone's saying about, you know, Pioli needs a credit by giving the youth the chance because they, you know, Xhaka scoring goals and Jimenez and Simic. He's only playing them because obviously he's got injuries, and which is then also another issue of his management and the conditioning of the players of the squad he has right now. So there's a lot of things about Pioli. The question of being like, does he make it through the season? Should we fire the guy? Obviously he's going result to result, but you know, we've seen in the past, like a week as successful as it has just been can easily turn the other way around, and it's like question marks over Twitter or over social media is that you should be sacked. So you can't sit here and give an honest answer of what the situation is going to be like in a month's time. We could be out of the Coppa, we could be even third, we could be back into a top four sort of race. And yeah, me is predicting 2 wins on the back against Atalanta Roma could easily change because we're just as reactionary if performances all of a sudden drop. So, and I don't think, as much as I'm confident in some of the players, a bit of me purely is just like this constant, yeah, this worry that I just don't think he seems to learn from his mistakes as much. And yeah, I don't know. And you could look at an example like Napoli right now, 20 points behind in our laughable defense of the Serie A, because that's a title. But and sacking managers, where does that get you? But look, should the right one come up, I think we make the move. And if not, then we wait to the summer and we move on. So.
Yeah, I think the summer, like this can still be an amicable parting, in my opinion. Yeah. And that's what we hope for. You know, it is okay to sort of after 5 years, which it'll be almost half a decade by the end of the season. It is okay to sort of say, yeah, we need some fresh ideas now. Thank you for everything that you've done sort of thing. And I think if he were to go out with a cup or something, that'd be good. Some people are saying a trophy would save his job. I honestly don't think that's the case. The only thing where you might have a reconsider is, as AJ said, if we storm back and win the league title, or maybe if we win the Europa League and the Coppa Italia, then you're starting to think, wow, he's pulled that out from somewhere. But it doesn't seem realistic at this point. So I think we're talking about a natural and an amicable part in a ways at the end of the season. And then we'll see what kind of a hire we go for.
Can I just say quickly, on the Europa and the Coppa, I think it's achievable because we've got the squad. If you look at the squad, if they're fit, they should be favourites for the Coppa right now, and they should be one of the favourites for the Europa, if not maybe Liverpool. But yeah, like, if they do go on and win it, of course he's worth the praise, but fuck me, that's the target regardless, because if you look on paper, yeah, you should be aiming to do that And if you don't achieve that, if you underachieve in Europa, then that's just a fault on you. And if you underachieve in the Coppa, then there's also a fault on you. It works both ways. But yeah, certainly the target should be at this point to go for those two, let alone even finishing top four too, because that is an achievable target. We're not talking about if he wins a Scudetto, trust me, that is, come on, like, we'll have a conversation about you staying beyond it. Mm. But if he wins those two, I'm sorry, that's what you should be doing. But ultimately, I think the saga is finishing.
It's like the 90s and the 2000s under Ancelotti, one trophy in a season would be classed as a disappointment because of, you know, what was at our disposal. And an inability to balance domestic and European would be seen as a sackable offence. That's how it was in the 90s. We won so much, and yet we went through 5 managers in the 90s, you know, and that says an awful lot. We'll wrap it up there, conscious that we're at like nearly an hour 20. I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. Find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher. AJ and Steph, cheers for joining.
Yeah, yep. You follow me if you want. You don't have to.
I echo AJ's statements, but yeah, been a pleasure.
Catch you in a week's time, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Gol! Ancora Teo! È una meraviglia! Il gol di Teo Hernandez! Da un'ora all'altra! È una meraviglia! Senti il mio cuore!